Welcome to the Sermon Archive of First Alliance Church, located in Lexington, Kentucky. This message was delivered June 30th, 2019, by our senior pastor, Paul Smith. It is a continuation of the series, Life Without Lack. Today's theme, Goodness and Love. May your spiritual journey be enriched by the hearing of this word.
Well, we are finishing up our series, Life Without Lack, Living in the Love of the 23rd Psalm. And it's called Life Without Lack because David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He doesn't lack anything when he looks to God and who is and all that he is in his God. And just thank you for your encouragement along the way. It has been a blessing. Well, we've said that this 23rd Psalm is powerful and pertinent to our lives because we've said everything in this psalm ultimately points to the person of Jesus, who comes on the scene and he says, "I am the good shepherd." That if you want to know what Jesus is like, one of the aspects that teaches us what he's like is the 23rd Psalm. And how it affects our life is the following way. We learn through the 23rd Psalm that it is safe to trust Jesus with the daily leadership of our lives. You see, all of us are following something. We're all following something. But Jesus comes on the scene and says, "Follow me." Meaning not just make a decision, but every day of your life, follow me through the Spirit of God that lives inside of us, the Word of God that instructs us, and the people of God. We follow the teachings and the life and are conformed to the life of Jesus. Now, today we get to verse 6. And there's a statement that we must address and a question we must answer, and is this: how to live in the goodness of God? How are we going to live in the goodness of God? Because that's what David, the writer of this psalm, wants us to address. Because at the very end of this chapter, verse 6, he says this: surely, goodness and what? Love. Or maybe your version says mercy. Maybe goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's like David looks at everything that he's written about God and does the math and says, surely, goodness and love will follow me. That's what I'll experience because of the loving lordship of the shepherd over my life. Now, to give our minds and hearts wrap around this, let me kind of go back in time, or maybe you, as a child or as a parent, you've taught your children this. There was a prayer that maybe you taught them or experienced, and it says this: God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. Yeah, God is great and God is good. And at a very early age, we learn two things about God. He's great and he's good. Or maybe you heard a worship leader around the time of Easter say this: God is what? Good. God is what? Good. All the time and all the time, God is good. I messed up there. God is good and all the time, God good. Yeah, you know what? You got it. Okay? That's why I don't lead worship. But we love those statements. Those are great statements. But then life happens. And maybe we mumble to ourselves, God, are you truly good? Because maybe you're in the hospital and you're in a situation that you never wanted or thought you'd ever experience. And God, are you good there? Or maybe your heart is deeply broken. Are you good? The pregnancy test has come back negative again. And then you realize that dream may never happen. God, are you still good? At the graveside, is he good? In the unemployment line, is he good? In times of conflict in the home and in the business, is he good? When your child runs a fever of 100 for 3 straight days, is he good? When you feel overlooked, left out on the outside, when the money runs out, there's none to pay the bills, is he still good? When your brakes fall off your van in the hills of Tennessee, is he good? We ask ourselves that question. Is he good all the time? David believes so. And it's important to note that David does not have the perfect family life. In fact, at one point in the story, he is completely overlooked by his father, completely forgotten. He doesn't have the ideal job. Being a shepherd is the lowest on the totem pole. Everything the culture says is needs to be in place for good, David does not have. But David says, surely goodness, surely love. And that word surely means a confident, solid, undergirding of your life, deep security. It's like David says, does the math, because of this, 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 surely God is good and he is loving to his sheep. But the question I have for you, for me, for we is this: how do we live in the goodness of God daily? And not just in theory, but really life change, nitty gritty, makes a difference reality. You see, one author I was studying said this: this is vastly important for us to learn to live in the goodness of God. It was the key difference maker in David's life, can be the key difference maker in our life. And when it's not there, we notice and others experience. You see, when we forget to live in the goodness of God, four things happen: two go up, two go down. You see, when we forget to live in the goodness of God, stress goes up. Something is bigger and more threatening in our life. We see it and we feel it than the goodness of God. And because of that, joy goes down. And Jesus says, I've taught you these things. I've instructed you these things so you may, your joy may be full. Stress goes up, joy goes down. Pessimism goes up. Pessimism. And then serving others goes down. You see, living in the goodness of God is one of the key realities that must be in place to give your life away and to serve others the way Jesus intended. You see, he says this in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, Jesus speaking, if you then, who are human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to them who ask? So we have this good Father who will overflow our life with goodness. So what do? Because God's goodness is in place. So in everything you do, do to others, serve others, love others as you would have them do to you. You see, if you don't believe in the goodness of God, you'll believe that you are the ultimate source of goodness in your life. No room for God means no room for people also. But when you leave room for God's goodness and let him supply, it allows room for people in your life. And you serving others in a meaningful way is a key reality of what God wants for you in your life, to bless others. You see, sheep have a tremendous amount of ability to be a blessing. Their wool, highly valued, keep you warm in the winter. Their fertilizer, very intentional word there, their fertilizer, some of the richest fertilizer, could bless a field. And they can, properly managed, can bless a field, can get rid of toxic weeds. They can be an absolute blessing, can do tremendous amount of goodness if they surrender, follow a good shepherd in their life. And the same is true for you. But we've got to learn to live in the goodness of God. So here's the goal of this message: that we will be a blessing to others by confidently, joyfully, and personally living in the daily goodness and love of God brought to us by the completed work of his Son, whom? Jesus. I pray you leave here today and say, oh, I love Jesus so much, because I can confidently and joyfully and personally live in the goodness of God because of him. Now let's see this text in its context, because we've been following this journey all throughout this series. And the key to this is the word follow. Goodness and love will follow me. And that word follow means to chase or pursue, often negative, like an enemy is chasing or pursue, but not in this case. And the pictures we know is that it's the shepherd has led the sheep up the mountain as the winter snow has receded up to the tabletops of green pastures. Well, as we get to the end, it means the seasons are changing and the winter is coming, so the colder weather is coming, so they're going back down the mountain. The shepherd is leading them. And scholars say that as the shepherd was leading them back down, this was a dangerous time, often when wolves would pick them off, but not in this case. Because out back of the flock, at the very end of the flock, there were these entities that were key, that were guiding and directing them and protecting them. There were sheepdogs that were at the very back, always making sure to bring this lamb in, that sheep in, this lamb in, that sheep in, goodness and love, protecting, providing, directing, making sure they would get to where the shepherd wanted. And they were following. And so you look over the corner of your little lamb shoulder, and you don't see the enemy. You see goodness, and you see love. And it's the picture that as we follow the shepherd, and all of us are living our second choice life in some way, experiences and situations we did not want or ask for, but over time, we see, God, what are you going to do with this? We look in the rearview mirror and you see goodness. How did that happen? And you see his love. How did that happen? And you realize his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And so you keep following this shepherd. Surely goodness and love will follow us. Now, to live in the goodness of God, I think David says two things have to happen. You have to understand and you have to act. You have to understand and you have to act. Specifically, you have to understand three critical words in this one verse. The words are goodness, love, and dwell. Can we say that together? Goodness, love, and dwell. Now, these words are critical. First of all, goodness. What do you mean, goodness? Why goodness? Well, the word goodness is the word tov. Tov, and it's very important. You see, it's important that we let God define goodness here. We want him to define and instruct us on what he means by goodness, because his definition of goodness is much grander and greater than ours would ever be. It points back to creation, chapter 1 and 2. When God looked at his creation, he saw all that it was made, and he said it was what? Very what? Good. Tov. It was good. We reckon very good. Everything was existing in perfect, created order. David picks up on that word. He says, surely goodness, tov. In creation, there was shalom. Mankind was worshiping God and was depending upon him for everything, finding his perfect and meaning, living in the perfect will of God. And this is what God intended, not only for Adam and Eve, but for all humanity, you and me as well. And this is key to understanding goodness, because David is not saying, surely the American dream or all of my wishes and thoughts will come true. No, those are too small. God's goodness is better than that. David is saying God is not giving up for what he intended for creation to experience. Tov, goodness, perfect harmony with God and with each other. And yet we know we don't live in God's perfect plan. When Adam and Eve rejected God by disobeying him, eating the fruit that was forbidden, evil was introduced into the human story. Sin has now become part of our spiritual DNA, living in our bloodstream. Sin and selfishness, rebellion, are part of our family bloodline. It marks all of us. And because of that, death, sin, disease, evil, fear, broken hearts, injustice, racism, murder, addiction, crime, aching bodies mark our story by our choice when we had perfect love and rejected it. And even though we rejected it, God didn't reject us. David says God did not give up on his plan. His desire for his creation to experience all of that goodness. God will make it right. He will right all wrongs. And I believe that that's why this text is so powerful in our lives. Has such powerful magnetic pull to our souls. Because we watch the evening news. We read the evening paper. And we shake our fist at the world. And we say, who will make it right? And David says, surely goodness, surely what God created will be restored. You will know it by the loving hand of the shepherd. And the first word is goodness. God's perfect created order. Intimate relationship with him and each other. Well, how does this come about? I mean, we the sheep messed it up. We can't bring it about ourselves. You see, we the sheep, we're incapable of bringing it about. It's because of our lack of goodness we don't experience his goodness. Well, it tumbles to the second word. Surely goodness and love. The love there is hesed, and it's way beyond emotion. It is a love that flows from God's nature. And God just doesn't do loving things. God is love. It is who He is. It's the very essence of His nature and character. He is love, so we realize that love is chasing me down. It is a love that is based on the character of one making a promise. You see, this love is seen, first of all, and depicted in the life of Abraham. When God makes a covenant with Abraham, says, I'm going to make you a great nation just because out of my love for people. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to others. It's depicted at its finest in the book of Ruth, which is one of the key words of the whole book. And the book of Ruth starts off with tremendous negativity. You have a mother and a daughter-in-law. The mother's husbands die, sons die. The daughter-in-law's womb is closed. There's no two greater pains to a female in that culture than that. But in that heartbreak, we realize that God, there's no miracles in this book, God is steadily working and providing for these two. Out of chesed, He provides harvest. He provides kindness and protection to them. He provides them a kinsman redeemer. And then ultimately, slowly, the hand of God provides for them in such a way to where it says a baby is born who's in the line of Jesse, who's eventually in the line of whom? Jesus. Chesed, quietly, the hand of God is moving to provide. And that's the word there. It's personified and at its apex in the life of Jesus. Jesus, as I said, if you want to see the greatness and the glory of God's love, look to the person of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. No greater love than this, than one that lays down his life for another. And Jesus' death and resurrection were not just religious acts in time. By faith in them, it has completely changed how we relate to God. We no longer are on the outside. We are brought into God, into that covenant relationship. In that classic text with the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 11, it says this. Jesus says, in the same way, after supper, He took the cup and says, this is the cup of the new covenant. This said, in my blood, do this. Whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, and not as one who is dead, but as one who is, what? Alive. Chesed is complete. Through chesed, we have a relationship with God. It's through the person of Jesus. God's commitment to us is not because we are a special people, but it's because God loves His Son, Jesus, and His faithfulness to God's plan of dying on the cross and the resurrection. You see, in Matthew chapter 3, God doesn't often speak in the Gospels, but when He does, this is what He says. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to Him. You see, God loves Jesus, and we all need to listen to Him. Well, what would we hear? Well, I believe what the Apostle Paul wrote about, and it's this. Christ redeemed us. Galatians chapter 3. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. We were under curse. He took our curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. We ate from the tree. He hung on the tree to be our sin payment. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to us, the Gentiles, through Christ Jesus. So now by faith, we might receive what was promised, something greater than what Abraham received. We might receive the what? Starts with S. Spirit. It all comes by Jesus, this goodness. Because now Paul says in 2 Corinthians, therefore, as anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And I remember in my study, I saw this, tears came to my eyes when I wrote down, surely goodness. Surely goodness. Right at the beginning. Surely goodness. Now, David could have just written, goodness and love will follow me. Why does the Holy Spirit move on David in such a way to put surely in there? Because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God said something to Adam and Eve. When you eat from the fruit, you shall what? Surely die. You see, our act brought death into existence. and the enemy whispered in our ears about doubting the goodness and the love of God. And God said, I'll keep my word. Don't doubt me on this. You eat of it, the death will enter the story. But he didn't leave us there. Because of Christ's obedience, the curse is reversed. Now there's surely goodness, and he will keep his promise. He will keep his promise that you will know the goodness and the love of God, not because of what you achieved, because of what he achieved. The work is done. And now, if you're a Christian, everything you've said is saying is true. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away all of your sin, and you are no longer under curse. You're now under surely goodness because of him.
I love that.
I just love that. So the question is this. How can we, what are we going to experience? What will we experience if we don't have perfect, bodies, and our bodies still have aches and pains, and we still have struggle? What do you mean? What's this goodness supposed to be? Look at the very end. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, it's something better than all your, than perfect, pain-free bodies, and as you're dwelling in the house of the Lord. This is the ultimate apex expression of this goodness. And the word dwell means to abide and to remain. And think about it. He's speaking to sheep here, not just shepherds. He says to sheep, you're going to dwell in the house, not the barn and not the pasture, and I'm not going to give you better food. No, you're going to invite you into the house, the shepherd's house. Meaning I'm invited into you, invited into the family. Meaning we now have access to the Father, and to all the other sheep are now our brothers and sisters. We get adopted into a whole new existence. I think this is what the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 meant when consequently, because of Christ, we are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens, God's people, members of God's own household. And I thought that was good enough, but it just gets better. You see, that word dwell is yesheb. And that word, it's a picture. And the middle letter is a crown, meaning a king. And that first letter is one stooping. And that last letter is open hand. You're going to dwell in the house because a king has stooped down to you. You didn't climb up or achieve. He stooped down to you with open hand. And what does he say? Everything I have is yours. You're just not knocking on the door and getting kind of a gift. No. You knock on the door, he welcomes you in, hands you some papers, and says, oh yeah, these papers, it's your adoption papers. Your last name's been changed. You're now part of the family. And everything I have in the kingdom is now yours. And you look over, and you realize it's because of Christ that all of this is possible. A king has stooped down with you with open hand. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul was getting to when he said in Romans 5, verse 17, how much more who receive abundance of grace, the free gift of righteousness, will reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Because he's a king, we reign with him. You see, God in his love and his wisdom gave us the greatest gift he could give us, the gift of himself through the completed work of Jesus Christ, and adopted us into his family. And it culminates in the book of Revelations, verse 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It says this, now the dwelling place of God is with whom? Man. Not on the outside. We're dwelling with God, and he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more pain. And I'm making all things new, not just once, but every morning we get up, it's newer than it was the day before. How good is that? Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. There's three things you got to understand. Goodness, love, and dwell forever. So what about an action plan? Action plan. Just three things. These kept popping into my mind. And you got to stop, look, and listen. Can we say that together? Stop, look, and listen. I went full kinder care this week. Stop, look, and listen. Okay? Well, stop what? Stop once a day long enough to reflect on the goodness of God in your life. See, sheep have time to rest during the day. Do you? And when you rest, what do you do? I thought about this, and I thought, when I rest, pretty much, it's not the most productive form of rest. It's often me in front of a TV screen, watching people who don't need exercise when I do need exercise, all right? Now, nothing against sports, but I'm like, there can be a more productive thing here. And so I've got my journal, started getting out my journal and writing down and reflecting on all the goodness of God in my life. And it's changed. Pessimism goes down, joy goes up. And I find myself just worshiping by myself. Do you have time in your schedule to reflect on the goodness of God? Stop comparing yourself to other sheep. One of the best things I've ever heard is we need less Facebook and more of our face in the book. You see, things like that, people put forth their best stuff, and we're like, we can't compete with that. And God treats us differently. To some, he gave this amount of talents. To some, he gave that amount of talents. He gave some that amount of talents. Our lives are different. He didn't want us all the same. And just be faithful for what God has stewarded and gives to you. To you. Stop. Look. Well, look where? Look into your past. That's what David does. He says, he's been with me in the valleys. You know, he's had me lie down in green pastures. I've gone this and that. All this stuff that God did, he's got right on the tip of his tongue. You know, look in the past, the rearview mirror. And yes, there's pain. David had pain. But also, I know you'll find, as you look in the past, God's faithfulness. The miracle when he provided when you didn't expect, that friend that came your way with timely advice, a provision, love. Even your struggles can be exactly what you needed to strengthen you for the challenges you have today. Look into your past. Look into the book. Look into the book. It's about God, but in this book, it's about God's love for you. I was going to bring it. I've got a book. Heather constructed this book. We had a distance relationship, and we would write each other emails, you know. And I'm amazed she married me. I can't spell worth a hill of beans. But we would get these emails. We would crack them open. And we would just devour these emails. Okay, I would. And this is God's writing. Say, one day we're going to see each other face to face. And I want you to know how much I love you. And it's going to get better than this. And he took time to write to you about his greatness of his love for you. Look in the book, and then look for the goodness of God in the everyday. David finds the goodness of God at his work. He's a shepherd. He says, God is like this. God does this. And I think he can do the same to you. Look into the face of a child at school. Look into the heart of a faithful coworker who goes above and beyond. You know, look at the glory of a sunrise, the majesty of a sunset, how God keeps everything in perfect order. One time David wrote, behold, the heavens declare the glory of God. He saw the stars singing. In the book of Acts, it says, in him we live and move and have our being. Everything, all around us is the glory and the greatness of God. I remember the time when Elliot was just a baby and she was sleeping in her crib. And we finally got her to sleep. And the sun at this time came through the window and hit her cheek. And I was wondering, is it going to wake her up? And the sun didn't wake her up. And I was so happy and it was so beautiful. But then I thought, the same sun that has the ability not to wake up a sleeping baby has the ability to shine over the Pacific Ocean, pick up billions of gallons of water, and then drop them in Nebraska so I can have bread. That is amazing, God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Look for God all around you. Pray that you see it. Listen. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to what he's saying. Stop, look, listen. Listen to the Spirit. Be careful to how the negative self-talk that you say to yourself. pray, God, give me a quicker ear to what you're saying to me through the Spirit. And I bet you it flows out right of this book. The Spirit within you will speak to you about the shepherd's love for you. And listen to the stories of others. Those of you who are mature in faith and mature in the age, your stories of the goodness of God are pure gold. Please tell them. And may we all position our lives in such a way to where we can hear them. Eric Geiger, in his book, How to Ruin Your Life and to Bounce Back When You Do, says this. We must recognize that one of the most dangerous aspects of our culture spiritually is isolation. We live in an individualistic society where the strong prove that they are strong by standing alone. They say we don't need anybody by achieving their independence. We must remember that our faith is a receiving faith, not an achieving faith. We rejoice in our weaknesses, and we are interdependent as people, not individualistic in our faith. We need each other to pray for each other, support each other, encourage each other, and we need to hear continuously about the goodness of God in our lives. So we stop, we look, and we listen. And may we, like David, say, surely. And may we anew, when we say this prayer, that God is what? God is great. God is good. And God is good. And all the time, God is what? God is good. And we all walked in here with that thing, that threatening thing, that heartbreak thing, that thing you did not want or did not ask for. But I pray today that you are reminded that no matter how big it is no bigger than an empty tomb. Than an empty tomb. And because he lives, you'll walk through that valley and you'll walk through that experience. But you can, with a song on your lips, say, surely goodness and surely love will follow me because of Christ all the days of my life. And me, with all my brothers and sisters, will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Oh, praise be to God. And let's worship. Let's worship our God. So let's stand. And let me ask you this question. Has life come in such a way to where you're doubting possibly the goodness of God? The enemy gets in and says, you see, God's not good. God can't be trusted. You have to take over life. You've got to call the shots. And maybe today you just have seen God's goodness in a whole new way. And you say, God, I just want to repent and just live in the goodness and the greatness of God, of who you are. And so, Father, we worship you. We love you. Let's sing together.